Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Appreciate you tuning in. We covered a little bit of basic knowledge about pork ribs in that last segment. Did we miss anything, Bob?
I don't know, Conrad. What did we miss?
I'm not paying attention.
Right.
I'm watching you guys.
Best no, kind of producer.
There's tons of stuff, but you already tickled some of this, and one of them was beef ribs.
Right.
So let's get that a little bit out there.
They're bigger.
Yeah, they are. The ribs are actually much larger, and there's more meat there. And depending on how the person processing the animal cuts them out, and like if you go into Sobey Meats, I got to use them again, you'll see they'll have like a great big section of the cow there, and they're cutting them out right there.
Right.
It's not coming in a box.
Right.
They don't get them at the beef factory.
Right.
You know, so they're going to, and so you, what my point is, you have the opportunity to tell the butchers there how you want that rib to smoke. If they know you're doing like a competition or you want to get a little fancy, they'll cut it in a way that'll leave a little extra meat on that thing. So you have the brisket on a stick that we used to talk about.
Right.
And so with a beef rib, it's the same thing. What we didn't cover on the pork rib, we can cover with the beef rib. What you want to look for, and why I say the math isn't always perfect, is when you're smoking a rib, you want to look in there after a couple of hours and see what the bone is doing at the end of that slab.
Yep.
If it's starting to poke out a little bit, you want about a half inch of bone on pork sticking out. You're going to end up with more than that on beef. You're going to have an inch or two and do a little different process. But with a half inch of bone sticking out, now you get your butcher's paper out and you wrap those pork ribs. And you don't need to worry about putting any mopping on there, but you can.
So that bone sticking out is an indicator that the meat is cooking all the way, because when it pulls back like that and you start to see some exposed bone, it's releasing the connection to the bone, which is why it's shrinking. It's cooking and it's shrinking back a little bit. That's a great indicator to tell you that it's starting to cook and you're getting close to the time to wrap it. And the wrapping, what that does is keeps the moisture in.
Right.
Right?
I wonder if Conrad has a wives' tale on that.
I do not, but I want to know why are beef ribs, you know, when you go out to eat, I love, you know, getting ribs somewhere. I don't like to deal with all the hassle, smoking them, but...
that is a hassle.
It
damn
is.
Damn grilling guys.
So why don't they have beef ribs available in a lot of these restaurants? Why don't they do
a lot of them do?
I would say there's two reasons. One is they're big and bulky, and they're a little bit more expensive, probably a lot more expensive than pork ribs. And people think ribs, they think pork. We're conditioned that way.
Part I'll agree with.
Right.
The big and bulky part, I don't know that would deter a restaurateur or a barbecue guy from making them. They usually have some pretty big Southern Prides or whatever.
Right.
They're throwing tons of product on. So that may or may not be the situation. But the conditioning part, I agree with you absolutely on. We have all been taught that ribs come from a pig.
Right.
And most people, when they tried to do beef ribs in the past, before the barbecue associations and stuff started really encouraging people to compete and do things like that, the beef ribs always came out kind of poorly, unless you were at a Korean restaurant. The Koreans knew how to do ribs for a long, long time, and they have several different methods that we will cover at the end of this segment, but that's another way to do that.
So the very first time, and this was way back, when Bob and I were just getting together, and Bob was and as you can tell from the show, I've surpassed him now, but Bob has always been the expert. Bob's been the expert on the grilling, and I'm just here to ride along.
Ouch.
Right? But no, in all seriousness, I went to Kansas City with Bob, and we went down there, and it was the first time ever I had really good beef ribs, and you guys were cooking them.
We did our show from the American Royal.
Right. Right, and that was when you called it brisket on a stick. I'd never heard that term before, but those ribs, when I saw what they started out with and what they ended up with, that shrunk back about a third of the length of that bone was exposed when they were done. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is where I learned that I didn't want it to be able to pick the bone up and have it all fall off, but just a slight little tug, and that's what I had. And those things were seasoned so
and
well.
And that's a meal.
Right.
I mean,
right.
One rib, if you, again, back to the butcher.
Right.
If he trims it, knowing what you're going to do, if he trims it properly and leaves enough on there, you end up with
like a softball size.
Like a tomahawk.
Of, right.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And
I'm getting hungry.
And I mean, it makes my mouth water just thinking about that.
I
that was
do.
if you, I don't know, if you're a grilling guy, you've got three or four things that over time turned out amazingly well, and you're like, wow, that was fantastic. That was my first wow ever, was down there. Because before I was just grilling in my backyard. I wasn't studying this. We weren't doing this like we are now. But at that time, it was like, holy cow,
well, those
what
were a
is
bunch
that?
Of guys I was working with out there.
Yeah.
And Rob Russell being, of course, my primary and turned into one of my best friends. And, of course, we had so much fun doing barbecue together. That
right.
How can you not have fun when you got a guy that's as good as him,
right?
And I gleaned as much as I could from him, and that's how this goes. That's how these traditions are passed on. You know, it's they're most culinary schools are now starting to get into it, but it's never been a thing.
Right.
This was I'm gonna say kind of a redneck thing, but it's also a Western thing and a Texas thing. But it's generally rednecks that do the good barbecue. It's people who are used to being outside a lot, and that would be like a farmer or a person that's an outdoors person.
These are my people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jethro listener.
Yeah, right.
They're not afraid to get their hands dirty and then lick the sauce off.
Right. But the
you liked
so
it,
seasoning.
Didn't, you
yeah,
liked it,
yeah,
didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
I remember Randy was walking around, walking into posts and stuff. He was like, and he was in love with his giant rib in his hand.
Right.
Gaga.
So talk about like the seasoning on that one, because I don't think it was terribly complex. The beef was the star of the
that
show.
That was the seasoning we were selling for that company at the time. And there's a bunch of good ones, you know.
Right.
You can go into Sobeys and he's got all sorts of stuff. Some of the stuff I used to rep, some of the stuff is just stuff he found on his own.
Yep.
And because everybody is going there to try and sell their seasonings now.
Right. Well, it's a butcher shop.
It's not only a butcher shop. It's a butcher shop with a family that really understands how to make food.
Right. Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And most butchers are pretty good at making food, I find.
Yeah. Well, you
so
know,
are brewers.
Fundamental, you start with good ingredients, you get a good result. I mean, it's plain and simple. And that's why you go to Sobeys, because you're going to get fresh, top quality
like
product.
That brisket I did.
Yeah.
It was a big name. I can't think of it right now, but it was not. It was, you know, he'd bought them packaged. They don't bother brining them themselves.
Right.
And I actually put the seasoning package in it. But the seasoning is a big part of what you're doing. The timing is a big part of what you're doing. And then the technique, of course, has a lot to do with it. But all this stuff doesn't matter if you don't have a good charcoal. So you got to be really careful with where you're getting your charcoal. I've found some beautiful stuff at Gordon Foods. It's a big 40 or 50 pound bag, and it's mesquite charcoal. And Randy always has a fit when I talk about mesquite because he don't like it. But you'd be surprised when you have mesquite charcoal. It's not strong at all. But they have these big bags, and it's just a little different flavor, but it's lump charcoal. And it's a value. That
yeah,
great big bag was like $25.
The reason that you use the lump charcoal is it burns longer. You can damper it down, and it stays even heat. And you load it up your smoker, and you've got several hours of smoke from that lump. If you were using briquettes, you'd be in there every hour or two.
You're absolutely
loading
right.
Loading her right
You're
back up.
You're absolutely right.
And that you lose your heat. You mess up your cook. You know, buy lump charcoal. We don't sell lump charcoal. Lots of places do, but I'm just telling you, that is a huge differentiator.
Tim Sobey has, Tim and Teresa, can't forget Teresa, they have a nice selection of lump charcoal out there, and that is just a big deal.
Yeah.
So the technique, of course, the quality of the meat and everything. Korean ribs, I don't know.
Coming up next.
We might talk about that next week.
We're going to hit them in the next segment, the Korean ribs, because that's a flavor profile and a little bit of a style. And I think, though, it's worth mentioning because it's really tasty. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Rib Show. Stick with us. We'll be back.